All right, get your Bibles out. Genesis chapter 6. That'll be our first verse. That's not our text verse. All right, in our Bibles, there are two groups of people. There are the Jews, and there are those that are not the Jews, and those are Gentiles. Gentiles aren't so much a specific group of people. It's more of what they are not, and they're just not Jewish people. God's people are through Abraham, and that is what he established, and we'll look at that. But we're going to be focusing in this morning on the Gentiles. Who are they? What is their place? And how do we make some sense of this? All right, so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for today. God, we're thankful for your kindness and mercy to us. Where we were yet full of sin, your grace and mercy just came in and changed it all. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I pray that you bless service here today, that God, these thoughts would be properly portrayed as we prayed already this morning, that you'll take something common and unholy and use it for your purpose. Lord, I desire to be used by you in every possible way. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gentiles were a mess. The Gentiles were a lawless group of people. Lawless as in they didn't have the law of God. They didn't make application to the law of God. If they did, they would be a proselyte and they'd become, they would kind of be adopted into the Jewish family, get in the blessings of God. But by birth, that is not what they were. They were actually problematic and troublesome. We'll see. Go to Genesis chapter, did I tell you Genesis 6? All right, Genesis chapter 6. We're going to see God despises wickedness and sin. It always has. I was talking to someone yesterday, and their child was explaining why God destroyed the earth with Noah and the flood. Why? Because he hated sin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If there was a verse that would describe the motto of the Gentiles was, okay, so here's God and his law over here, and the Gentiles are, we're going to do whatever we want. That's pretty much the Gentiles. We're going to do whatever we think. We're going to make idols out of this or that. We're going to worship this. We're going to worship that. Whatever God's way is over here, we're just going to be contrary. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, wickedness, every imagination. Genesis chapter 18, go there. The Gentiles were categorized by their lawlessness. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know how this goes. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. This is not like the cry of the Israelites who are in bondage in Egypt. No, this is the cry of their wickedness. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, he says, I will go now. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Well, what does he find when he goes down there? It was just as wicked as he heard. You know, some people want to, they get a recommendation to go to this restaurant or go to this place, and, oh, it lived up to what it was hyped. Here, it lives up to the hype, unfortunately, Sodom and Gomorrah. God rains down fire because of their sin. Again, the way of the Gentiles just, I'm going to do whatever I want. God has his plan over here, but as a Gentile, I'm just going to do whatever pleases me. That was the way of the Gentile. Remember Jonah? Oh, we love Jonah, the story of Jonah. And Jonah is quite redemptive. And there was two parts to the story of Jonah. Number one, God working with Jonah. And then number two, the people of Nineveh. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. I just want to show you a quick verse. Just kind of building a case here of the lawlessness of the Gentiles. Jonah. Little book in your Old Testament. If you found Amos, you're very close. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. And the Bible says this. Now, I understand the context, but I want you to see what happens here. We know that probably the greatest revival that we have record of comes by the hand of Jonah, comes by God working in the land of Nineveh. So in our minds, Nineveh is a great place because revival happens. God comes and preaches. But what they were known for leading up to this, that's why Jonah didn't even want to go. Their sin was great. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, and God saw their works that they turned, look now, from their evil way. Hey, let's remember the way of the Gentile is just contrary to God. They just did what they wanted to do. The law of God is here. Thou shalt not kill. Violation. Thou shalt not steal. Violation. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Violation. They were a wicked and heinous group of people. And God judged them frequently for it. Here, he sends Jonah and he says, go to Nineveh, that great and exceeding city. It wasn't... He was sending them there to help to bring a message of repentance. And the Bible says that they turned from their evil way. And what does God do? God holds off judgment. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that God would allow a Gentile nation to get right with him. Because they're lawless. They care not about the things of God. See, God uses the Gentiles to judge Israel. And look at, real quick, Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. Quick little study here. Ezra chapter 5. Your clean pages of the Bible. No fingerprints or coffee spills in Ezra. All right. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 12. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven under wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of where? Babylon, Jew or Gentile? Gentile. He uses Babylon to judge Israel. But then he judges the Gentiles for judging Israel. Because why? Because God's chosen people are the Jews. That is God's way. So I don't like that. That's not how I grew up. And you know, the Jews were kind of... The Jews are God's chosen people. And if you want to argue with God on that, go ahead. But that's what the Scripture says. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. It's amazing to me that such a small little nation could have such a major impact worldwide. Look at these great verses in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. He's talking about Israel. Hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. Well, that pretty much establishes it, doesn't it? The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. He goes, I didn't pick you because you were a great people. For you were actually the fewest of all people. So why did you, Lord? Because the Lord loved you. Because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. That the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He said, God chose you, and you're just his chosen people, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's a bummer because I'm a Gentile. The promise was always through Israel. Remember Genesis chapter 12. He comes to Abraham and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bless those that bless you, and actually I'm going to curse those that curse you. I'm gonna crush your enemies. Israel was going to be the example of all nations. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 6. We're going to read through verse 8. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight, look at, of the nations. Hey, Israel, you're going to be an example. You're going to be an example of what it means to walk in the blessings of God. But you'll hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? They're going to be the affection of everybody. As the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon Him for. Look at verse 8. And what nation is there so great and hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? They're going to be the envy of all nations. They're going to be the example of all nations, making, listen now, every other nation their enemy. Just about. Israel has more enemies than it does have allies. Very few allies. Maybe England. Maybe the United States right now. But there's going to be enemies. The Gentiles are an enemy to Israel. Look at, I'll just give you one example, Exodus chapter 17. This is neat. Then we're going to get into, well, we're still going to introduce some things. But eventually we'll get into our message. How's everybody doing? Good? We good? Amaris, you good? All right, good. Thumbs up from Amaris. We're good to keep going. Exodus chapter 17. I want to show you this. This is neat. Then came in verse 8, Exodus 17, 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. The enemy of Israel, the Gentile nation, fights the Amalekites with Israel. Now there's a story here, and Joshua said unto, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek. Why? Because the Gentile nations were enemies with the nations of Israel, or the nation of Israel. And here he fights with the Amalekites. I love in verse, we get down to, this is a great story, we're not trying to dissect the story, but if you get down to verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people, listen now, with the edge of the sword. You better believe you'd be discomfited with the edge of the sword. What happens? What year is this? This is around 1500 BC. And Joshua goes up against the Gentile nations, the enemy of Israel. And God gives him provision to have a victory there. Let's fast forward 500 years. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Anybody have a childhood, maybe neighborhood kid that was an enemy become a friend anywhere down the road? At one point you were both, you know, at odds, and now you're good friends. Maybe two guys fighting over the same girl, but now here you are friends. Say, does that happen with the Amalekites in Israel? Here we are about 500 years later. 500 years later, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to appoint thee to be king over Israel, to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. He says in verse 3, now go and smite Amalek. What is this? This is a 500-year war. Why? And this is just one example. We have Babylon. We have other nations that constantly come up against Israel. Because the laws of God are true and right, and there was a group of people that were lawless and wanted to take the blessings of Israel and just loot them out. They were called the Gentiles. The Gentiles get withheld blessings from. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The Gentiles were lawless. They were not God's chosen people. They actually were the enemies to God's chosen people. Matthew chapter 7, he refers to them frequently. You'll see it in the New Testament. Paul refers to the Gentiles often. But Christ here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, it says this, give not that which is holy. What is that? The law. unto the dogs. Who are the dogs? The Gentiles. There was nothing more unclean than a dog to the nation of Israel. Neither cast your pearls before, here's another unclean animal, before swine. He says, don't give up on the goodness and blessings of God and compromise it and make it dirty and bring it over to that Gentile nation. Keep it away from the dogs. We have a dog. Man. Our dog, we can't leave nothing out. He even eats our trash. He's a mess. Trapper. I would never, if we have anything good, we make sure we lock it up, put it behind closed doors, because if we go out, he's going to eat our good stuff. The dog's going to get into that which is good. Hey, Gentiles, you stay away from there. This is for Israel, God's chosen people. Matthew chapter 15. We have a story. Poor Gentiles missing out on God's blessings. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out. Canaan, it's a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. Didn't even answer. He answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. What's her problem? She's a Gentile. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, I'm over here. This is my people over here. And she came and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, he says, and cast it to the dogs. Public place. He just called her the most unclean thing you could in the nation of Israel. So that was rough. That's how they saw it. So how's the story end? Oh, the mercy and grace of God comes through. She said, truth, Lord, yet, and this is so true, this is why we have a dog so we don't have to vacuum. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She goes, I know I'm not the one you came to see. I know I'm not your chosen people, but could you just drop me a little? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Took some persistence. Took some faith. Took some hurdles to get over. But eventually the Gentile got to Christ. For the most part, the Gentiles would be withheld blessings from the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Just a couple more verses. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. It says this, beware of dogs. There's Brother Rice. Brother Rice just got a dog. I tried to warn him. I said, don't do it. Your kids are going to lie to you. They're going to say, we'll take care of it. It's a lie. Beware of dogs. That should be our life verse. Beware of dogs. But it's not talking about the four-legged animal that we so affectionately call man's best friend. No, it says, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Hey, be careful of those that care nothing for the laws and the blessings of God. Beware of the Gentiles, is pretty much what he's saying. Why? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Look at now, he's going to define the Gentile nation. being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Here's all the blessings. Here's the Gentiles. Here's all the blessings of God. Here's the Gentiles. They don't get any of that. He says, you were strangers, aliens from the covenants of the promise. Look at now. It says this, having no hope, without God in the world. Gentiles who are hopeless. They don't get the blessings of God. It's actually withheld from them. Look at Galatians chapter 2 in verse 15. Because by nature, look at now, we who were Jews by nature, now look at this phrase, and not sinners of the Gentiles. Explain to me your view of the Gentiles. Lawless, enemies, sinners, withheld the blessings of God. So what changed? Romans chapter 11. We have concluded our introduction. Poor Brother Rice. We'll go through this quickly. We have two thoughts. Verse 13, Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Who's he talking to? Gentiles. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Look at now. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. John chapter 15, he is the vine, we are the branches. And he's saying the very root of God is pure and holy, therefore the buds of Israel are pure and holy. The only problem is I'm not part of that. And then we come to verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, Gentile, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. Look at these next two phrases. And with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Oh, man. I am a lawless Gentile that cares nothing about the things of God. I don't get it by birth. I don't get it by nation. I don't get it by nature. I am a sinner and an enemy of the people of God. The things that God loves, that's where I'm the enemy of. My sin. And God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to graft you in because you don't belong there. But I'm going to make a little cut in the root and make a spot for you. So you can be partakers of the root. Look at Ephesians 3:6. It's on the front of your bulletin this morning. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Christ did something that the law couldn't do. The law separated me from God. Christ grafted me in. I am now a fellow heir. I get all the goodness. I get the peace. I get heaven. I get eternal life. I get hope. I have the eternal Father to call my own now. I am now a partaker of the root. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 24. Look at this. This is wonderful. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature. I have no part in that. I was looking this stuff up. This is amazing. I was looking at these trees that they blend fruit on. It's amazing. They had apples and oranges growing on the same tree. You couldn't get more contrary. And here we are, getting in on the blessings of God. Not that we steal the blessings from Israel. Not that we replace Israel. He just cut us in a little bit on it. We're partakers of the root, the holy root of God. Look at, not only just partakers of the root, but partakers of the fatness. Did a quick search of fatness. There's some things you don't want to read about fatness that God says, but we're not talking about that kind of fatness. See, I was a sinner by choice and by nature. I was contrary, but God grafted me in. And now I'm part of that root. I'm part of the fatness. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We read Ephesians 2:12, but there were two verses around that that I'd like to draw your attention to. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. The name of this message this morning is called Something to Praise Him About. Number one, because of His mercy. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, the verse that we read, verse 2, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, oh man, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I get in on the fatness, the goodness of God. Well, say, why does he use fatness? Why did he say that in Romans chapter 11? Go back to Genesis chapter 27. I want to show you something real quick. This was... Ever see those little emojis where the guy's head is exploding? This was one of those moments for me. God doesn't just throw words out there by accident. Abraham has a son. Anybody, Jacob, do you remember Abraham's son's name? Isaac. Isaac, by which is going to get the promises of God from his father Abraham. Abraham has two sons. Do you remember those ones? Been a while since we've been in school. Jacob and Esau. I thought maybe you would know Jacob. Okay, very good. Jacob and Esau. And there was some shenanigans. And Isaac is passing on the blessings to Jacob. These are the blessings of Israel. Now listen to what it says. Remember Romans chapter 11. He says, partakers of the fatness. Man, that sounds good, doesn't it? That's what he wants. He wants us fat. Genesis chapter 27, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And he said, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord had blessed. Look at now. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. God's very promise that he passed from Abraham to Isaac, who then took Isaac and passed it to Jacob. He says, you're going to get in on some of that. The very promise, the very covenant that he established with Jacob. He uses the same phrases in Hebrews chapter 11 for you and me. Isn't that a blessing? That was about all I could handle right about there. But I don't just get the blessings of the land here. No, I got even more than that. I got a city waiting for me, whose builder and maker is God himself. Oh, you want to talk about fatness? Wait till you see what he has for us. Which brings us to the verse that got this all going in my mind and heart. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Wait till you see this. I feel like, I know it doesn't happen, but God sometimes adds verses that I've never seen before. Anybody ever feel that? You read that and go, where on earth was that? Never seen that before. So I'm reading Romans, trying to understand the book of Romans. I feel like Romans is so important, and so many times I just read it over and I'm just settled with, I just don't understand that. So I've been trying to read Romans and study it, take my time through it, and here I am, Romans chapter 15, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And I read that and I thought, yeah, of course I would go. Listen to me now. If ever there was a group of people that should glorify God for his mercy, it is the Gentiles. Why? Because we are the enemies of God. We were lawless. We were without. He withheld his blessings. But yet somehow, in his mercy, he grafted us in. We got part of the root. We're part of the fatness. If there was a group of people that should be thankful for the mercy of God, it would be you and me. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. He didn't say just you and me. He didn't just say the sinner. He said the people who were by nature contrary to him. His mercy is more, we sang this morning. There should be no group that should be more thankful for the mercy of God than you and me. Because by nature, we should have no part of it. And then it continues. Verse 10. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Not only should you praise God for his mercy, I want it so you do it all together. Brother Naparella thanked the Lord for the fellowship we had this week. We were standing on the streets with the Naparellas this past weekend, showing signs. How many beeps? I don't know. My kids were keeping track of how many nice beeps we got. Thumbs up. We said beeps count as one, tractor trailers count as two, thumbs up are a half. All right? And so we were keeping score. I don't know what we were trying to do. It's a good time of fellowship together. Just a bunch of Gentiles talking about holding a sign saying, I've been saved by the grace of God. His mercy came to my house. Didn't deserve it. Shouldn't have got it. But I'm sure glad he made a provision for it. If there's a group of people that should be more thankful than us, I don't know how or who. And we ought to praise them together. You know, in Acts chapter 16, we have Paul and Silas, and they're in jail, and you know what they're doing? They're praising God together. In the midst of a trial, we praise him. Why? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're almost done. 1 Chronicles 16. The grace and mercy of God to me is just overwhelming, may I say. 1 Corinthians 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Group of people that experience the mercy of God? Yeah, me. I didn't get what I deserved. Therefore, he is good. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise him. Psalm 71. Look at this. For how long? Knowing what I know, how could it ever end? Psalm 71, look at verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. Next three words. All the day. If it's possible, I don't think a Christian should have a bad day. In perspective of what I am and where I belong, think of Mephibosheth. Remember him? Son of Jonathan. Lame. One day he's sitting by the side of the road. Lame. All of a sudden there's a knock at his door. I'm here from King David's house. I'm here to bring you to the king's house. He went from eating ramen soup and peanut butter and jelly to the king's house. There he is sitting at the table going, this is unbelievable. When did that ever get old? When did the mercy and grace of God get old in your life? When did you get just used to being his child? When did you get used to the mercy? When did you get used to being grafted in? When did you get used to, that's why he reminds us so many times, remember where I found you? Do you remember that? Hey, you ought not to be stopping praising me. It ought to be all day. Because we can remind ourselves of where we were. Look at Psalm 95. Look at this. I love this little word in here. Psalm 95. And we're almost done. So you keep saying that. It's to keep you turning. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Oh, come, let us. It doesn't say, oh, come, let me. Oh, come, I will. Oh, come, let us. Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He desires that we worship Him together. Psalm 117. We'll read the entire chapter. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, even the enemies of God now. Praise Him, all ye people, for His mercy, merciful kindness is great toward us. For the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Go back to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. There never should be a time where we lose sight of God's mercy in our life. I was on the outside, and I was without hope, and I had no way in. And God made a little cut in the root, and He put us in, allowing us to get in on the fatness. Let's take our hymnals out today. Let's all stand and sing.